Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 15. 2 Chronicles, chapter 15. Usually when you're going through your Bible reading and you get to Chronicles, you kind of cringe because you know that there's so many genealogies, but it also has a great deal of history of the nation of Israel. It has some wonderful messages for us in this book. It's all a part of God's inspired word. But as we face the coronavirus here in our country, and not just the health issues, but the economic issues, and just a lot of questions, we are definitely in a national crisis. And so this morning, I'd just like to take a glimpse into the history of Israel and see what they did in a time of a national crisis. And if we learn from what they did and how God blessed them, then we can realize that since God never changes, that if we do the same thing, God too will bless us. And so, unfortunately, in time of crises, people so often turn to every other avenue except God. But during a time of crises, especially a national crisis, we should as a nation turn to God, because He's the one who has the answer and holds the solution in His hands. And so seven things we can do or ought to do in a time of national crisis. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, we'll go ahead and pray, and then we'll just read the scriptures as we go along through the passage. Father, we're grateful for the opportunity to look into Your word this morning. Bless us as we consider a few simple thoughts. Father, bless our nation. We do pray for our president and our elected officials as they do the very best that they can to help contain this virus. Father, we pray for all the doctors and those that are trying to find the most effective way to treat this virus. And Father, we just pray that through Your mighty hand that You would slow the spread and even stop it in its tracks. Father, that we might once again be able to meet together and worship You as a church family. We'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, we have the nation of Israel is divided by now. And the northern kingdom, of course, had all wicked kings. But when you get into the southern kingdom, it kind of came and went. You had a good king and maybe a couple of bad kings and maybe a couple of good kings. And in chapter 14, we had a new king rise to the throne by the name of Asa. And Asa was a good king. Now, as we get into chapter 14, Asa's instituting a few reforms, trying to draw the nation back to God. Their crisis was that they had abandoned Him, and God is using Asa to try to bring the nation back. And so as we look at verse number 1, the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, "Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while ye be with Him. And if you seek Him, He'll be found of you. But if you forsake Him, He will forsake you. Now for a long season, Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law." Now, verse number 3 right there describes our national crises. We look at that and we scratch our head and say, what kind of a crisis is that? And if we're doing that right now, then it just shows a very low spiritual life in whoever might be asking that question. What a terrible thing to happen in a nation, to be a nation without the true God, to be a nation that is stuck in the throes of idolatry and false worship. And so the national crisis is that, and then also because Israel was God's chosen people and God had a plan for them and they weren't fulfilling that plan, it also brought the judgment of God upon them. And oftentimes that was shown and seen in the surrounding nations conquering them or causing them a great deal of strife. And so a real crisis because they had left God. Verse number 4, "But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought Him, He was found of them." Here we have the first response we should have during a time of national crises. As I said, verse number 3 illustrates for us what that crisis was, and verse 4 gives us that first thing we need to do, and that's just simply we need to seek God. And I already alluded to that a little bit earlier, that When a crisis hits, God's people need to be drawn to Him in prayer and in worship, and praying for those that are around them for wisdom, as we do for our president and our elected officials. I just praise God that we live in a state where our governor, and I really appreciate the fact that he has not put the stay-in-place order where you're not allowed to leave your home like other states have done, and it seems like more states are doing that. I read of another state, I don't remember which one it is now, put that order in place just last night. And so we just need to learn not to seek to our politicians, though, not to seek to our doctors or our scientists and seeking a cure, but we need to seek God in His blessing. He is the great physician, and He is the one in whom all wisdom dwells. And so we need to seek God, not turn from Him. And so don't forsake the listening to of God's Word or the meeting together for worship, even if it's just in our homes. Or as we move along here in the passage, verse number 5, "And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity." And so again, the description of the crises that they faced because they had left God. In verse number 7, we see our second thing that we should do in time of crises. In verse number 4, we see all that we were to seek God. Now in verse number 7, God tells us that we need to remain faithful. Seek Him, but don't let it be a short-lived seeking. Stay faithful. Verse 7, "But be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." Now, God doesn't always respond immediately. And that's what the point of verse number 7 is. As they're being encouraged by Azariah, the son of Oded, who was obviously a prophet of God, he's telling them to be strong. He's telling them to just be patient, be faithful. You may not see the fruit of your labor. You may not see the results of your faithfulness. You may not see God removing the crises immediately. But don't give up just because God doesn't act and respond immediately. You know, so many people are willing to give God a try, but they have no faith and they really have no concern. They just ran out of options and they thought, well, I'll try the God option and maybe that'll work. God doesn't respond to that. Their turning to God is very short-lived and it's only half-hearted. And God doesn't bless that. God says we need to go all in. That's the term they used to say for just, today we say selling out. But we just need to sell out entirely to God and give our lives over to God and just let Him have His will and let Him have His way. And we just need to stay faithful, whether we have the anticipated results or not. If we as a nation would bow before God and the coronavirus still wasn't lifted, it shouldn't affect our turning to God. It shouldn't affect our faithfulness to God. We should be faithful to God no matter what He sends our way, no matter what our circumstances might be. And so what to do in a national crisis? Seek God. Stay faithful. Verse number 8, we have our third response that Israel had, and we'll find that God blessed them, and I believe God will bless us if we do the same. Verse number 8, "When Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord." The third thing we need to do in a time of national crisis is examine our own heart. Now you say, how did I get that out of what we just read about Asa removing the idols and renewing the altar of the Lord? Well, if we're not going to take... Well, let's look back in chapter 14. Let's go ahead. We only need to look at just a brief section of this passage. In verse number 5. I think is enough. Verse number 5, also he took away out of, this talking about Asa as he came on the throne, he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And so Asa had already done this, the removing of the idols. But what he's doing now is he's going back with a fine-tooth comb. Apparently he realized that he had missed some, or perhaps some idols were removed, and then after he and his men had left town, were set back up. Asa's doing an examination here, and he's taking and removing every idol that remains. On an individual basis, this is something that we need to do on a regular basis if we have, or if we want to experience God's blessing. And we might call it revival. We need to have that every day of our lives, not just 2 revival services a year, but revivals to take place every day. And the only way that's ever going to happen is as we examine our hearts. And if we want God's blessing in our lives, it's necessary that we examine our hearts, and it's necessary that we remove all the idols, anything that comes before God, anything that's more important than Him in our lives. And that's just a real concern at this point in time. What's more important? Will you tune back in at 6:30 this evening? Or do you have something more important happening in your lives? Will you tune in at 7 o'clock on Wednesday? Or is there something more important in your life? If there's something more important, you need to remove that idol, especially during a time of national crises when we need the hand of God to work unhindered if we're ever to see our way through this. But it's not just removing the idols. There were 2 steps here that Asa took as he was examining his heart, not just taking out the things that need to be removed, but also adding that which needs to be added in his life. That's found in the idea that he renewed the altar of the Lord. He's restoring the worship. Have you left off reading your word, the word of God? Have you left off prayer time? Have you left off service time? How has your devotion been to God? You see, if you're going to have revival, and if we're going to have God's help during a time of a national crisis, we need to institute the things that are right. Not just removing the things that are wrong, but instituting and being faithful in those things that are right. And the only way we'll do this is as we examine our heart. And so what should we do in a time of a national crisis? First of all, we need to seek God. Secondly, we need to remain faithful. Thirdly, we need to examine our hearts. Fourthly, verse number 9, and he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. What we need to do is encourage others to do the right thing. We need to encourage others to do the right thing. This is found in the first part there in verse number 9. Asa gathered all Judah and Benjamin. It goes on and listen, he's calling them to worship. He's calling them to examine their hearts. He's calling them to seek God. And he's calling on them to remain faithful. He's not just concerned about his own life, but he's concerned about the life of his neighbor and trying to encourage them to get right with God and to stay right with God and to remove the idols. We need to encourage each other in times of a national crisis. It's easy to get discouraged, and it's easy to leave off doing the right thing, especially when we can't meet as a church family. Because if you choose not to listen in, nobody will know except the people in your house. Except God. God will know. And you'll know. And so it's important that we encourage each other to just do the right thing. That's what Asa did. And as we'll see, God abundantly blessed them as a result. And so they sought God, they remained faithful, they examined their heart, they encouraged others. Verse number 11. Verse number 11, we'll see the fifth thing they did. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. In other words, they honored God with their substance. Now, we may not be able to meet for service in our church building, But many of us still have income. Are you still planning to honor God? You know, the first fruits still belong to Him. That tithe still belongs to God. What will you do with it? Will you spend it on toilet paper, if you can find any? Or will you set it aside because it belongs to God? That's what Amy and I have done. We've got our offering envelopes all set, just waiting until we can give it in the offering. If we fail to honor God with our substance, we fail that revival. It's just that simple. And if we fail that revival, we have failed to get God's unhindered hand in a time of a crisis. And so we can't neglect these first things of Christian living. Because if you think about all the points I've said, that's all they are. They're just normal Christian living that anymore today in our culture and our society have become abnormal because we've become like the world. And because we become like the world, we're suffering like the world. We've not seen God's hand of blessing on our nation for quite some time. And so we need, during this time of national crises, to get back to God and to seek Him and put Him first. We need to remain faithful. We need to examine our hearts. We need to encourage others. We need to honor God with our substance. And then, in verse number 12, we see something that's very important that so many are so reluctant to do. Verse 12 tells us they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul, that whosoever should not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets and cornets. And so what we find that they did is they honored God with their decisions. They weren't afraid to make a commitment to God. They were willing to tell God, we will with all our being, aided by your bountiful grace, will serve you, live for you, love you, do the things we ought to do, and we'll refrain from sin, we'll resist worldliness, and we'll live a separated life. And they made this covenant. At the end of the message, they responded to the invitation, is how we would put it today. And yet so few today are willing to make a decision at the end of the message. They just simply refuse to make this covenant with God as to how God had moved them and spoke to them in the Word of God through the preaching of the Word of God. And in essence, they are making a decision. And the decision they're making is, God, all that was just said is fine and dandy, but I ain't letting it change my life. I ain't letting it affect me. I'm going to go on the way I always was because it just seems to be working fine. Well, it's not working fine right now, is it? Because we can't have church in our building because of the coronavirus spreading. And just cases are multiplying. Michigan almost doubled the cases they had from Friday to Saturday, I believe it was. We're not doing fine. And if we don't change some things and get right with God as a nation, this could have a terrible impact on our country. But if we'll just simply do what God tells us to do and be willing to say, God, whether you ever cure the coronavirus or not, I'll do the right thing. Or God, even if you remove it tomorrow, I'll stay faithful the rest of my life. Because you know, there's so many Christians that'll make a commitment, make a covenant to God, and then the problem is gone, and guess what happens to that commitment or that covenant they made with God? They forget all about it. And they go along their merry way just like things were before. If that described your life, go ahead and read the book of Judges, I dare you. And you see that same cycle where they were right with God, things went well, and so they forgot God, and so God brought judgment. And so then they sought God and got right with God, and the problem was resolved, And then they went right back to their same way of living, forgetting about God. And so God judged them, and it was just a cycle that they went through. And we as Christians so often go through those same cycles because we don't make the same commitment, the same level of commitment that we see here in 2 Chronicles 15. If we want God to truly bless our nation and to truly resolve this national crisis that we know as a coronavirus, we're going to have to be willing as God's people to make this type of a covenant. Not just during the crisis, but also when the crisis is averted, to keep the covenant that we made with God, to follow Him and to seek Him with all of our heart. Look in verse number 15. I have this as point number 7, but it's really the resolution of the first 6 points. Verse number 15, and all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought Him with their whole desire, and He was found of them. Now notice this last phrase, and the Lord gave them rest round about. In other words, God responded, God blessed, and their enemies weren't attacking, and they had peace. That's what we want as a nation. We want God to respond so that our crises is resolved. But that only happened as we as individuals, and thus as a nation, seek God, remain faithful, examine our heart, honor Him with our substance, and honor Him with our decisions. So how about you this morning? Will you decide that you'll do all these things and do your part as best as you can, aided by the grace of God, to help avert what we see going on in our country today? Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for giving us the example of the nation of Israel that we can learn from. And Father, now we just pray that You would touch our hearts, speak to our hearts. May Your Holy Spirit work with each one. And Father, may we have a willing heart, be willing vessels to respond as Your Spirit moves us, even to such a point that we're willing to make a covenant with You and then never go back on the covenant which we make. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.